Ladies and gentlemen, good day. Welcome to Jammu and Kashmir Bank Q2 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance, you can press star and then zero on your touch-tone phone to signal an operator. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good morning. Thank you, Sagar. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY24 results conference call for Jammu and Kashmir Bank. We have with us from the management, Mr. Baldev Prakash, MD and CEO, along with the management team. I would like to congratulate the management for a great set of numbers. So now, without further delay, I would like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Chintan. A very good morning and warm welcome to all the participants. First, let me introduce my management team who are accompanying me on this call. We have our corporate credit head, Mr. Ashutosh Sareen, our retail credit head, Mr. Narjay Gupta, our impaired assets vertical head, Mr. Shuja Andrabi, our CFO, Mr. Prateek Punjabi, and Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Altaf Kira. Amid the challenges of some concerns on global headwinds emanating from geopolitical issues, global slowdown, and stubborn inflation, the Indian economy seems to have exhibited remarkable resilience. Though growth inflation dynamics have been quoted as a cause of concern by the Reserve Bank of India owing to the uncertainty of food inflation. Uncertainties on account of rising crude prices, dollar index, and all-time high U.S. bond yields have become more pronounced and pose a dual challenge for central banks of managing financial stability along with price stability. RBI has expressed confidence on the strength of macroeconomic fundamentals and financial sector stability in India. RBI has also pointed to a protracted period of high interest rates continuing before the regulator decides on some moderation depending on a sustained reduction in inflation. The regulator has, however, sounded caution on the buildup of unsecured personal loans and advised the financial sector to be more vigilant and create adequate buffers during good times. The GDP growth forecast for the year has been retained at 6.5%. A spate of good Q2 numbers are being declared by most of the banks with robust credit growth. However, rising cost of deposits and consequent contraction in margins are visible almost universally. The J&K and Ladakh growth story continues with major infrastructure under implementation and some strategic ones nearing completion. The Udhampur-Baramulla rail link is scheduled to be thrown open in the early 2024, which shall pave way for all weather and economical connectivity route during giving a boost to tourism and trade. The two UTs, which used to be nearly shut during the harsh winter months, are now witnessing year-round activities. In J&K, the euphoria for winter sports has already started and record tourism influx is expected. Tourism and trade-related activities, as a result, are expected to do better with greater employment generation and proliferation of the benefits to other sectors as well. The bank continues to deliver results in line with the market guidance with sustained improvement in financial parameters. The numbers for September 23 are promising and reassuring of the strengthening fundamentals for a more prosperous future. Growth in business numbers is aligned with the industry, advances growing at 18% YOY and deposits at 9% YOY. The lower deposit growth is as per the strategy, the levers that the bank has in the form of low credit deposit ratio and excess short-term investment provided a space for funding part of the credit growth by realignment. During the first half of current fiscal also, part of the short-term investment was redeployed through the credit route. Despite lower growth in CASA numbers, we are still maintaining a CASA ratio of over 50%, which is a rarity in the industry. Advances growth has been diversified and was majorly contributed by growth in high-rated corporate, recording increase of 19% YOY, while retail advances recorded growth of 12% YOY. In the personal loan segment, growth was more pronounced in home loan, about 20% YOY, and credit card, which is a smaller base, growing at 25% YOY. The ratio of retail to corporate loans in our overall portfolio is 2:1. The income statement is reflective of good growth in interest income at 23% YOY for the half year, 17% in net interest income, 20% in non-interest income, 23% in operating profit, and 73% in PAT. Even on sequential basis, net interest income is up by 4%, PAT by 17%. Other income, however, is below the Q1 level as there was no significant resolution of technical write-off account during Q2. Provision write-back from TWO accounts had contributed to non-interest income during Q1. The financial parameters reflect sustained improvement in almost every metric. Despite increase in credit cost of deposits, which is an industry-wide trend, the improvement in yield on advances and yield on investment have resulted in NIM further improving to 4.07% for the quarter and 4.03% for the half year, which is slightly better than our conservative guidance. Pertinently, the trend reflected in the results of banks declared so far, some moderation has been witnessed in the net interest margin, and thus our bank has been a better performer on this front. On the operations front, despite creating provisions for the impending IBA rate revision, cost to income has slightly moderated by 14 basis points on Q1Q basis. We have recently rolled out online account opening facility with video KYC, and with maturing of other technology adoption initiatives of centralized processing for account opening, loan appraisal of personal consumption, consumer loan, etc., including STP model for government employees, per employee productivity and profitability shall vastly improve by rationalizing of human resources from transaction processing to business acquisition and marketing. This shall result in gradual improvement in the efficiency ratio as well. The asset quality has been a standout parameter of our performance. Slippage ratio, which had been a major pain point last year, is the highlight of the current year's performance. Gross slippage of just 1.25% annualized for the half year and continuation of recovery momentum has resulted in our gross NPA coming down to 5.26%, while net NPA is approaching the 1% mark. The trend corroborates that we are on course to achieve the year-end target of 4.5% of gross NPA and net NPA below 1%. In absolute terms, significant downsizing has happened in the gross NPA by about 1,270 crores. In technical write-off accounts, rupees 460 crores, and also in the restructured standard loan by 530 crores since September 2022. Thus, inferring that the balance sheet is now highly clean and much stronger. Further reinforcing our balance sheet, we have taken the provision coverage ratio to 90% level. Recovery resolution of technical write-off accounts did not materialize during Q2 However, we are envisaging significant resolutions happening in such and other NPAs during the second half, which shall further bolster the bottom line of the bank. The restructured loan book is performing satisfactorily and its downsizing is continuing. The credit cost has remained well below the guidance of just 11 basis points during the half year, and we are confident to keep it to the bare minimum owing to controlled slippages, high PCR, which reduces our aging provision requirements, and expected write-backs on account of recovery. With the trend of profitability, we envisage adequate internal accruals during the year. We also have enabling board approval for raising of equity and T2 capital, which we may consider utilizing at the appropriate time and price, depending on the evolving scenario, including RBI's stance on risk weights on consumer credit. The capital adequacy ratio of 14.53% as on September 23 is without reckoning the half-yearly profit and mobilized under ESPS 23. Once again, I thank you all and acknowledge your guidance, support and trust, and we expect it to continue in the coming days. I will be glad to have your questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Demeter Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congratulations on a very, very strong quarter and wonderful result. So I had a few questions. One is, of course, the ESPS. I saw that the ESPS is still not being considered for capital adequacy calculations. Where is that process now?
Yeah, Ashwini, good morning. Thank you very much. See, ESPS, there was some process involved because we wanted to have some approvals in place. Now I'm happy to tell you that we have all the approvals in place, and maybe another 1 week's time, this money will be, the shares will be credited to individual employees' accounts, and this money will be accounted for. It is a matter of few days only now.
Okay, perfect. That's great. Second is that, your cost to income ratio has obviously improved with the growth in balance sheet and the growth in net interest income and profits after tax has also grown. So I wanted to ask, when you think about the next 2 to 3 years, where do you think the cost to income ratio can go? Do you think that a target of somewhere in the early 50s is possible? I mean, how are you thinking about cost to income ratio?
Yes, Ashwini, as I have indicated in my talk also, there are various steps we are taking to address the cost to income ratio, because this is one piece we are now fully focused to fix it. So as far as the technology is concerned, various steps have already taken. Some are maturing in a month or 2 months' time. So from that point of view, I'm sure that the staff productivity and staff the profitability will increase, and a lot of transactions-related business will shift to that technology, and staff will be utilized more for garnering of new businesses. That is one. Another part is that we are working very in a focused manner as far as our staff costs are concerned. We believe that somewhere something we are missing in that, but we are not yet sure because that process is still on. And from all point of the terminal benefits point of view also, we are looking into it. And I'm quite confident that by this year, even if nothing comes out of that study which is relating to our staff benefits, we will be ending it around 60% definitely, and going forward, we'll be further improving it.
On the credit cost, I mean, the provisions were basically 11 basis points in quarter two, which is much lower than what is on a number on a sustainable basis. So on a long-term basis, how do you think about credit costs? What should we factor in as a sustainable credit cost over the medium term?
Yeah. Ashwani, can I ask our CFO, Mr. Prateek, to respond to this question?
Yes.
Good morning, Ashwani. In terms of credit costs for March 2024, our guidance was this will be less than 10 basis points. We are very well on track. You can see as our H1 cost, which is less than 10 basis points. This is largely riding on the fact that we are unwinding value from our NPAs, the reduction in NPAs, resulting into lower credit costs. So this will sustain till March 2025. Post-March 2025, that is March 2026, 2027, 2028, normal banking curve will prevail, and then we expect the cost to be around 50-60 basis points in a staggered manner.
Perfect. And last question is on the capital raise. I mean, if you take ESPS and profits till date into account, your capital adequacy is already well above 15%. How much are you looking to raise via equity and how much via subordinated bonds?
So Ashwani, 750 crore approval is already in place from the board. So we are going ahead with 750 crore as far as CET1 is concerned. Bonds, we have not yet made the final call. Actually, we think that we may not require the raising of that Tier 2 this year. But still, we will be again revisiting this thing in the last quarter and then take a final call on that.
And the 750 crore will happen during the next 3 to 4 months?
This quarter. This quarter.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering all my questions. All the best. And once again, congratulations on a great job.
Thank you, Ashwani.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Jai Mundhra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, morning, Jai.
Mr. Jai Mundhra, your line is unmuted.
Yeah, can you hear me, sir? Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure. So, sir, can you also put some perspective on your broad thesis on broad outlook on the growth and within which, how are you looking at growth from the UT of J&K and Ladakh and outside and rest of India? Also, your thought process on cost of deposits and yield side evolution, which would enhance the margin trajectory. That would be useful, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. As far as growth is concerned, our strategy of last year focusing in the rest of the country on the high-value corporates, which are good-rated, AAA or the government corporations, which are high-rated. So that will continue. Besides that, we are going ahead with the opening of around 17 branches in the rest of the country this year. So those branches, besides supporting our liability franchise, will also be focused on improving the home loan portfolio in the good centers. So that strategy will continue as far as the rest of the country is concerned. And the same trend of growth, the percentage growth, which are happening, definitely will be happening, rather improving because of the home loan growth as far as the rest of the country is concerned. Home territory of J&K and Ladakh is seeing an uptick in all economic activities. A lot of investment people are now, individuals are doing in the renovation of houses, construction of houses. So that activity seems to be improving further during this year. So we are expecting a little better growth as far as our home territory is concerned on the retail front, as also on the horticulture and agriculture, because now a lot of acceptability of this high-density apple is coming in the farmers. So high-density apple means straight away 3 to 4 times yield, and that 3 to 4 times yield will be requiring more of the storage as well as logistics facilities. and we are already proactively working on that, already started working on that, and we will be having a good growth out of that sector also. Besides that, the major sector which will be contributing to all small and other activities, including the hospitality, that will be the tourism, which is seeing a record boom actually in the J&K, particularly in the Kashmir region. So the government has already set a target of more than 2.25 crores of tourists during this year. Already we are reaching to around 2 crores. I'm sure this number 2.25 will also be surpassed. So this tourism will support all type of economic activities, including the hospitality. Cost of deposit,
right. Yes. No, sir, and just before that, sir, so how would it translate to overall growth and within which, you know, rest of India and J&K in Ladakh?
So overall, we are growing at around 18% as of now, and we want to maintain the level around this 17-18% during this half year also. Both as far as rest of India is concerned and the home territory of J&K is concerned, we are expecting the rest of India will be attacked better because of the ticket size. Cost of deposits, I think you have mentioned there. Yes, I agree that cost of deposit has seen some uptick in this quarter also, but since we have to align our rates with the competition, so that will be defined by the competition, but I'm sure that will not have an impact on our NIM. We are confident of maintaining our NIM in the range which we have already advised in our guidance.
Understood, sir. And sir, if I can ask the cost of savings deposit for us, what would be the blended cost of savings deposit for us? We have given the cost of funds and cost of deposit, but if you have that number, that is one.
So, actually, this will again depend upon the competition, but as of now, our cost of saving bank is 2.90%.
Right. Okay, and last question, sir, before I come back in the queue. You specified that credit costs will remain negligible, but if you can also, give some perspective on the slippages and gross NPA, net NPA by year end, that would be very useful. Thank you.
Yeah. So, can I ask our IAPM head, Mr. Sujay Andrabi, to tell about the growth of the slippage?
Sir, good morning.
So, slippages are?
Slippages are, that was the first thing we have been attending since last year, and the slippages have come down, and it was during H1 that ended on 30th September, it was in the range of 1.5%. And in the same, in the last year, that's 2022-23, the gross slippages for the whole year were around 12%. So we have come down to just 1.5%, and we assure you that it will be in the range of 1.5 to 2%.
So no concern as far as slippage is concerned. There is the background for this. A lot of technology support we have taken to control the slippage. We have now the trackers which provides proactive information to our team relating to the SMA, relating to the low turnover accounts also, which are cash credit accounts, as well as there is a tracker for NPA also. So a lot of technology support has been brought in to control the slippages as well as NPA. So slippage will be in this range only, 1.25 to 1.5.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next line of question is from the line of Mr. Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thanks for taking my question and congratulations on a very good quarter. Sir, just a couple of questions. One is continuing from the previous point on asset quality. Now, clearly, you already guided that slippages are likely to be fairly range-bound and credit costs for this year are likely to be around 10-12 basis points. But just wanted a bit of a clarification. Mr. Punjabi did mention that similar sort of credit costs are likely to continue until March 25, post which we expect some sort of a normalization. So if you could just throw some light as to which are the, I mean, what gives us the confidence that next year too the credit costs will remain as benign as they are at this point of time?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Umang. And I'll ask Mr. Pratik to respond to it. Good morning, Umang. This is riding on the fact that when we concluded March 23, we were at 6.04% of gross NPA, which we brought down to 5.77 as of June, and which is now down to 5.26 as of 30th September. So our guidance was that for March 24, we will be at 4.5%. Similarly, we estimate and expect around 3.1% to be around March 25. So the story starts with unlocking the value from the gross NPA. And then there is obviously the denominator effect when we start growing our book by improving our CET1 ratio, now raising capital and things like that. Therefore, this is a story of effecting good recovery in March 24 as well as in March 25. Thereafter, once we reach that 3.1%, we think that a lot of sticky NPAs will be left at the bottom of the line. And then with the new growth coming in, there could be possibility of normal banking curve NPAs credit cost kicking in. And that is the basis of our statement.
Understood. And sir, but do we have any large lumpy NPLs which are due for resolution, let's say, over next 2 to 3 quarters?
Yes. Not that much large now, but a lot of NPLs we are working on, and definitely in the last 2 quarters, we will see that good amount of recovery in NPLs as well as in technical write-off accounts will be affected.
Understood. Understood. So my second question was related to margins. Now, clearly, again, on the margin front, clearly our performance has been far better compared to some of the peer banks or similar sized banks that are operating in the country. But just want to understand that, again, taking a slightly longer view, that how should we look at margins in the second half and next year? And will it be driven more by expansion in the loan-to-deposit ratio, or do we have any levers on the yield front, given that cost of deposits are rarely under our control? Do we have any levers on the yield front which will help support margins?
This is Pratik here again. So there are a couple of levers as well. So first is the credit deposit ratio, and we have given our market guidance that for March 24 we could be around 72%. But we have sustained ourselves at 69.37% in regular September position. So moment we start leveraging our deposits, the interest margin will sustain itself, despite the fact we are going to be protective of our deposit franchise in JNK. The second lever is the redemption of investments. And you can see that with the increase in the yields of our investment portfolio also. So that has already exceeded 6.5%, which was just about a year ago at 5.5%. So these are the two strong factors that are going to help us in maintaining the NIM. Third, and the last part is, I say that with a bit of in my mind, and that is the CASA. Whilst the CASA ratio per se has not compared to March 24, but we are still one of the better banks in the industry operating at above 50% CASA ratio.
Okay. Understood. Got it, sir. And sir, lastly, on OPEX, just a clarification. In your opening comments, you did mention that by the end of the fiscal, we want to achieve a 60% cost-to-income ratio, and this is without factoring in any benefits, if at all, which can come from our exercise that we are doing in terms of evaluating the terminal benefits which are being paid to the employees. Did I hear that correct?
Yes. Among you are correct. On the cost to income ratio, we are working on it.
And even if nothing is coming from the exercise on the staff front, we are confident that with the support of technology, lot of the routine transactions will be shifting to the technology, and the staff will be utilized more for business and marketing.
Understood. Sorry, and just one last question. Sir, you did mention that ESPS scheme approval has come in, and we would be able to utilize that quantum into our CRAR calculations as well. Any indications as to how much does it add to our Tier 1 capital, and any timelines by when we might look at raising fresh equity capital?
So one is that ESPS will add 43 basis points to our CET1, and the capital raising exercise we have already started immediately after the results, and we are trying to complete it within this quarter itself.
Sir, I am referring to the equity capital. You mean to say that the equity fundraise will happen in this quarter?
Yes. Equity fund, I'm talking. And the bond, the Tier 2, we have not taken a final call. We will take that call in the last quarter, because we think that we may not require it during this year.
Okay. Sorry, sir. I'm just kind of repeating this. So in this quarter, 81 bonds is what you already mentioned, which will happen in this quarter. I'm talking about pure equity share capital. That also will happen in this quarter. Because I guess you guys put out a press release saying that the equity capital raise was deferred.
No, see, that was relating to the additional. We wanted to have some additional capital. 750 approval was already there in the last board meeting. So that was relating to only that additional portion. 750 approval is already there, and that is for the equity capital. And we are now working on raising of equity capital of 750 crores, not 81 or not Tier 2.
Okay. I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you so much for the clarification.
Thank you.
We would like to remind the participants that if you wish to ask questions, you may press star 1 at this time. The next question is from the line of Bunty Chawla from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for giving the opportunity. Just a small question on the restructured assets. Though restructured assets are coming at a slightly lower pace, last quarter it was 980 crores and currently it's 910 crores. So how one should see this book moving ahead, and is there any moratorium left or it's completely out of the moratorium? And on the provisioning part, it seems to be slightly on the lower side. It's just 68 crores. We are holding the provision against 900 crores. Any view on that? Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So Sudha will be responding to
the researcher book is behaving very satisfactorily, and there are no concerns on this. You must have seen there was no downgradation. There was just a downgradation of 13 crores during the last quarter against 79 crores in the corresponding quarter of the last financial year. So it's coming down, and in Q3, I assure you, you'll see a significant reduction in the restructured portfolio, and there's no concern as far as this 68 crores is without considering the DIFP, which we are maintaining another for standard portfolio, which is around another 75 crores. It's around 55 crores for that. So we are adequately provided for, and the NPAs are almost provided for to the extent of 80% in that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next line of question is from Sonal from Bowhead. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Many congratulations on great numbers, and turning around the bank, in your early part of your tenure. Sir, two questions. Firstly, sir, how many people are you expecting to retire over next 1-2 years, and what kind of savings in employee costs would it take? And how much of the salary hikes you've already provided, and where do you think, the final number would settle at, after the wage negotiations, and when do you expect it to be completed?
Yes. Sonal, thank you very much. So one is about the retirement of our people. So we have indicated in the last call also around 1,500 people of
Tier 3 and above means senior people who are covered under the old pension scheme. So they are expecting that will support our the cost income ratio. And the second part is relating to this 15% the IPA related package.
Yes.
So we are already providing it for last so many quarters with 15% provision every quarter. And I'm sure that we will be having a soft landing once. I think we are having 220 crores as of now for the half year.
Sir, so are you saying that whatever you are expecting has already been fully provided, and is there any one-off in the employee cost? This is a recurring number for your employee cost.
So, Sonal, actually, depending upon the level of the package. See, as per the, if you see the past, around 15% increment has been given to the employees. So, at the rate of 15%, we have already provided for. If it is little higher, I think that we have to see, and at that point we'll take the call.
And sir, have you calculated what kind of impact, you know, while this will be positive for you, these 1500 employees, you know, retiring, but what kind of quantum could it be? Would it be like 50 crore, would it be like 100 crore, would it be like 200 crore to benefit for you?
You have some data on that? So now I think we have to come back to you on the number. We will be reaching out to you by email.
Great, sir. And sir, in terms of the the employee cost, what kind of trajectory do you see for growth over, let's say, next 2-3 years? You know, so let's say if we take FY23 number versus FY26 number, which is a medium term, you know, do you think there'll be any major increase, or you would expect the number to be broadly similar, you know? Without taking these pension fund benefits, you know.
So, good morning, Sonal. See, for March 23, the employee cost was 2,700 crores. And for March 24, we expect this to be around 3,000 crores. That the driver of that number or growth is nothing but the IBA provision.
But going forward, do you think it will stabilize around this number for next 2-3 years, or do you expect a significant jump from this number?
We don't expect any significant jump, because as we already mentioned that first, we have already undertaken a study of what are the components of this cost, and we expect in fact some rationalization, and we just mentioned that there will be retiring around, we expect retirement of around 1500 very senior employees, senior scale employees in next 2-3 years. So, we don't expect any significant jump in this from this level.
And sir, as far as the equity raise is concerned, is it going to happen through the Union Territory of Ladakh, or is it going to be through the market, or will it be a combination of both?
So as of now, it looks like a combination of both. But for market, we have 750 crores approval is already there, so we are going ahead with that. Parallelly, the discussions are on with both the government, the promoters. Let us see how it pans out.
And sir, as far as the employee cost is concerned, the exercises which you are taking, you know, whether on pension or, you know, the various hedge you have, which could lead to savings of the, you know, further salary for the bank, you know, and the incentive structures you have been working on, you know, by when do you think you will be in a stage to have clarity and share with us?
I think we should be able to share that by next quarter. By next quarter, means December end. We are working on it quite on advanced stage now, but let's see, because after that we have to analyze it also. Maybe it will take another 2-3 months' time.
Sure, sir. And
sorry to interrupt. May we request
just a follow-up on that with sir's permission, if he is okay with it. So, sir, just one last thing. Do you think, sir, that you would want to raise the money now, or would you want to raise the money after you have clarity on this aspect? Because that will be a major positive for a bank, you know, and will get discounted by the market and will get a much better...
No, I think we are going ahead with raising of capital 750 crores now only.
Okay, understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next line of question is from Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks for giving an opportunity again. Just one data keeping question. Sir, this quarter our non-interest income, within which the miscellaneous income has seen a sharp sequential drop. Is this related to recoveries from return of accounts or is it something else?
No, I mentioned in my opening talk also, it is relating to the technical write-off. Last quarter we had a significant recovery. This quarter we are not having that. So this is because of that only.
Okay. Sir, is it possible to quantify how much are the recoveries in this quarter and in the first half?
First half, I have the number.
You have it?
Yeah.
Sir, in the first half, the TW recovery was 79 crores. And in this particular quarter, the TW recovery is 6 crores.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it is a matter of fact that we are on course of our recovery. We maintain our annual guidance. There have been cases because this requires some regulatory approvals before the resolution is finally achieved. So there is a spillover of the day. In the first 3 weeks also of this particular month itself, we have recovered a reasonable amount to maintain our guidance that we will continue to recover.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan Sharma from Systematic Shares and Stock Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Chetan.
Yeah, my. Can I hear you? You guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good morning, Pratik sir. This is Hitendra. So, just one question with regard to the overall book. So, in terms of what are the unsecured loans in the overall our loan book, and that's it as of now. Yeah.
Yes. So, as far as unsecured personal loans are concerned, we have a book of 20,000 crores. 20,000 crores. And I just want to add that this book is consist of our loans to the employees of J&K and Ladakh government, which are backed by a MOU with the government that in case any default happens for any loan, the government will take a NOC for before paying the terminal benefits of those employees. That's why the delinquencies or NPA levels in these accounts are almost insignificant.
Okay. And in terms of any NPAs as of now, have you experienced any NPAs in this as of now?
No significant NPAs.
Okay. That's it. Yeah. 1%. Okay.
Less than 1%.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand Dama from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. And so basically, you guided for the margins to be reasonably strong and stable around the current level in the near term. But what's the medium term outlook on the margins?
Yes, Anand. Good morning. Can I request our CFO on the margin?
Sure, sir.
Long term. Yes. Anand, good morning.
Yeah.
Our guidance continues to be around 3.75 to 3.9%. But we are a conservative management and we have time and again, beaten the estimates. Even this particular quarter, we reported 4.07% for our particular quarter. So our guidance continues to remain same and we will sustain ourselves in this particular year on that rate.
So do you think that the guidance that you're giving 3.75 is very, very conservative? Because given the way basically your book is structured and your cost of fund management has been superb, so you should not basically see any margin contraction below maybe 3.9 or 4.
No, Anand, I think your assessment is correct. But one thing is there that still the liability franchise, lot of competition we are expecting or we are facing as of now also. So given that factor in mind, we have kept this guidance within this range, which we think we will be definitely able to achieve.
Linked to that, basically the cost of fund advantage that you have on the liability front that typically you get from the J&K state. Any partnerships that you would look at in terms of maybe some NBFCs or the co-lending partners, because they would obviously look at your cost of fund advantage and basically explore an opportunity on the lending front, so that actually can give big protection in terms of margins for you going forward. So any thoughts over there?
On the partnership, if I am able to clearly hear you, you are talking
Yeah,
about.
So either you have co-lending partnerships or basically, something of that sort.
So as of now, we are working on having the tie-ups with fintechs, those who are working on the liability side, right? They are providing the solutions, we will provide the banking facility. So that is going on, and besides that, a lot of work is going on providing the QR code and the POS machines also to garner the current account. So that is going on, and as such, partnership with other corporates, we are not looking, only the fintechs.
Okay, got it. And sir, anything that you would want to talk about on the fee income front? Because that is reasonably lower versus when we look at the other private banks as such, somewhere about 50 basis points or so. So any plans over there, any target that you have in mind, and what will be the strategy to shake it up?
Non-interest income, not that.
Yeah.
So non-interest
Yeah.
income, Anand, in the last year, we have added two of our partners in the insurance sector, I mean, the life insurance. This year, we are adding one more partner, in the non-life segment. So these things, I think these partnerships will start yielding the results during this year, and we are expecting them to actually improve our non-interest income. And besides that, a lot of work has been done on the treasury side also. Last year, being the treasury, we had shifted to Mumbai from Kashmir. So they took some time stabilization. Now we have empowered them with good quality staff, and a consultant is working with them on improving the various segments where they can earn money. So these two things, one is the bank insurance segment, another is the treasury income. We are quite bullish on improving on this.
So anything on PSLC fees that you can talk about? Because I think you would be sitting on a decent PSLC book.
PSLC.
Yeah. So you basically will have a very decent PSL book, right? So you can actually generate some fee income from PSLC sale.
Good morning. I'm Ashutosh Sareen.
Yeah.
We have a significant number in our MSME book, but I think as of now, we don't intend to upload do any PSLC deal to book any profit on that.
Is there any reason why you wouldn't want to?
The month of March. Yeah.
Sorry, sir, I didn't get you. Hello? Yes, sir, I didn't get you. What you said, sir.
So what we are saying that on the PSLC front, as of now, we have not decided on this. We will take a call appropriately in the month of March.
Sure. So that could be an additional revenue source for you going forward.
Yes. Thank you very much for the suggestion. We will examine it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Andre Purushottam from Cogito. Please go ahead. Mr. Andre, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes, Andre, we are not able to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So this is a more general question. We visited Kashmir recently in about September, and what was not obvious to us was that there is a great deal of infrastructure spend happening. We couldn't see it, okay? So I was just wondering whether you can give us some flavor as to what is really happening in the state of Kashmir, which will, particularly in the area of infrastructure and other areas of growth. You give us some flavor earlier in this discussion, but if you could give us a little bit more flavor as to what is it that is actually happening, which may not be obviously visible to a casual visitor.
So, Andre, in case you have visited from Jammu to Kashmir by road, you must have noticed it. But I think you have flown from either Delhi or Mumbai, so you might have missed it. So you
Right.
see from Jammu to Srinagar, once you come,
the type of infrastructure, the road and the tunnels and the railways, the bridge on that river. I mean, these are the unique things I have not seen in India, these type of tunnels. This is
right.
The first time I'm seeing this type of tunnel. And beyond that, if you go, the tunnel near our Sonamarg, and beyond that, going to the Graf area. So this is a lot of big infrastructure projects which are happening. And as I've also indicated, the road the train connectivity from Udhampur to Baramulla, that will be happening during this 2024 first half. So these all are the infrastructure related things which will be supporting the overall tourism.
Right. And the 18% growth that you have generally guiding towards, is there any difference between your growth in your native state and the rest of India?
Rest of India growth is how much in the percentage?
19.
So rest of India is 19 and overall it is 18.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonal from Bowhead. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, once again for this opportunity. So this income from return of accounts, what is the kind of... So I understand that usually for most banks, the first half is usually very low and the second half is higher. So it will help us if you can give some broad idea of the kind of, you know, income from return of accounts do you expect for the full year? Secondly, if I remember correctly, you know, there was some sort of commission income which you used to get on a recurring basis, which you didn't book last year. In fact, you reversed it. You know, has anything been booked on that front, you know, this year from, you know, for collecting from that power company? And what kind of other income could we get from that in this, you know, full year? So first half versus full year, you know.
Yes.
These two in, so, on, yeah.
Okay. So now, as far as technical write-off is concerned, as per the trend, generally the second half recoveries are better than the first half. I will not be able to specify the amount because it is a working process. Maybe by the next quarter we will be having the clarity as far as amount is concerned. Number two, about the recovery from government department, that is still under discussion. We have not yet neither accounted for it or not recovered from the government. But that discussion is on. We may get something this year. We may not get this maybe this year.
But do you think this will be a recurring income for you going forward, or this may not be a recurring income? Or are you saying that the permission may not come this year, but it's a recurring nature of the income which will stay, you know? The approvals may take time, or you're saying that the... You know, it's a possibility that even this income may not be recurring, you know, going forward, you know, the one which is to get from the collecting of those power bills, etc.
Yes. So one thing is there that earlier the money which we are talking is mainly on account of physical receipt of bills in our branches. There, the cost per transactions we are expecting a little more. But slowly, all these transactions are going on the digital front. So digital front, then it will be a nominal charge. So may not be much going forward, but the recovery part which is there, we are trying to get it as soon as possible.
Great, sir. Sir, any other initiatives which you are taking on the other income which may fructify in next 2 years or so? As somebody said that, you know, your other income is relatively low to the bank. So let's say, you know, these things take time, but let's say by FY26, you know, which are the initiatives which could lead to your other income, you know, rising? It may not happen in the immediate near term, but over, let's say, a period of, you know, time frame of 2 to 3 years.
2 to 3 years, yes. So, Sonal, as I have indicated, so we have working hard on the treasury front. We have taken the services of a big four and the consultant, and they already started working on it. We have put in 20 young boys and girls in the treasury very recently. Those people are under training as of now. So we are expecting that treasury will be supporting us big time. Even the money, by that time, this technical write-off money will be exhausted. So that part will be filled in by treasury in a much better manner. That is one. Another thing which I told you, a lot of partnerships we have entered in the last 1 year and one this year. on the life as well as non-life front. So those partnerships will mature and this will be supporting us as far as other income is concerned. And LCBGs, yes. The LCBGs of our current portfolio is now actually not up to the mark, up to our expectations. There also a lot of focus is there. So we are in the process of improving our non-fund based business also. Yes, Sonal.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arjun Bhatia. Please go ahead.
Well, are we audible to you?
Yes, Arjun, we are audible.
So on the hospitality front, what is happening, in Jammu and Kashmir? So there was COVID and obviously for obvious reasons, not too much of work would have happened. And hospitality takes time. It's like a 5 year, 4-5 year at least a project takes. So are we seeing a lot of approvals happening, a lot of interest, and are there any lead indicators of what could happen in the state of Jammu and Kashmir on the term placement or hospitality and then contractual work which could eventually go to your bank?
So on the hospitality front, one is that the big hotels, 1-2 inquiries we have seen. They are coming up particularly in the Pahalgam area and Srinagar, 1 or 2 are coming and one is coming in, maybe in the Sonamarg area. So that is one as far as big hotels are concerned, but 3-star, 4-star hotels, lot of things are coming up and there we are also there as far as this thing is concerned, financing is concerned. And one thing which is happening in a big way is the homestays. The homestays in interiors, this I'm talking of major cities, but interiors like in Dola, Kishtwara area and even in this Rajouri side. So lot of homestays, there we have a specified scheme and we are the only bank who is having the scheme as of now and we are working with the government very closely to fund the homestays. So that is an area which is supporting the hospitality sector. And besides that, lot of financing on the taxis and the sitaras and other things that is going on.
And so is government running any schemes, on this front, like, discounted interest rates? And also there was a scheme for GST benefits. Is it seeing traction in Jammu?
I'm not able to understand it. Can you repeat?
So there were two, sir, is there any interest subvention which the government is offering, to the industry for putting up infrastructure in Jammu and Kashmir?
Yes.
For the hospitality and also any GST benefits? And are they started seeing any traction now since we are past COVID now?
Yes, some traction is visible. Last, I'm told 30,000 crores approval government has already given to those new units. Some of them have been financed by us also. And but that will take some more time, I think, maybe 1 year or so. Actually, it will be seen on ground.
Great, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajay.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mr. Jay Mundra. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, a couple of questions actually. One is that you have given a good slide on, SMA numbers, right? So the trend is improving, but still if you can, usually there is, but still the number looks elevated as a percentage of total loans. While I agree that the trend has been improving, but still SMA 2 at around 3% of overall loans and SMA 1 at additional 3%. That would mean that slippages that there could be some risk to the slippages that you could see. So your thoughts here?
Thank you, Jay. So overall SMA, yes, if you see SMA 0 seems to be a little higher. We are working on it. This SMA tracker which I refer is actually a big support as far as the SMAs are concerned. But if you see SMA 1 and SMA 2, which is the probable NPAs, the numbers have reduced drastically. which is around 6.5% as of now. So the teams are working on all these accounts individually, and you find that hardly any slippages are happening out of these SML. So maybe yes, you I agree with you that it should be little lesser than whatever present number is there. I think with the passage of time, you will find further improvement in this portfolio. We are pleased at this.
Okay, sir, and a related question would be, like, so let's say you highlighted that of your Jammu Kashmir, I mean, the personal loan given to, you know, employees of the state government, that has some, let's say, mitigating factor, right? The bank has an MOU with the government and hence your principal is, you know, more or less secured. Is there any such covenant? Do you have any such covenant in any of other portfolio? Maybe your loan to some of the other entities or SME or, you know, state government exposure?
So this MOU is specifically related to the loan to employees of the government. So as far as this SME book is concerned, that is only account to account basis. We have 1, 2, 3 accounts where the government guarantees are available, but not as a general trend.
Okay. And so secondly, then, you know, in the first half, your credit costs have been negligible, but at the same time, the write-off amount is also negligible, right? So your net slippages are negative, and hence you are seeing a good, let's say, reduction in net NPA without, with a benign credit cost also. But I think the write-off you will have to do, right? And that will increase the provisioning if you were to maintain the PCR. So how should one look at those things?
Yeah. So, this is Pratik here, and good afternoon to you. Yes, so it's a very welcome and a good question. And I was wondering why this was not being asked. So let me start in a very different way. The net NPA has for the first time gone below 1,000 crores. So I think that I don't know whether anyone has noticed. It is hardly a little over 900 crores. And we have a clear line of sight in terms of how we are going to recover from the two portfolios, which today stands at around 4,300 crores. So there is enough work to be done on that particular aspect. We also have got a policy, or to answer specifically to your question, we got a policy approved by the board on how write-offs can be done and things like that. Having said that, allow me to assure you that we will ensure that we maintain healthy levels of provision coverage ratio. And if you see the reduction in the gross NPA in absolute terms between last quarter and this quarter was close to 400 crores. But if you see the write back in the profit and loss account on account of the provision releases, it is hardly 9 crores. So it shows that how we are reinforcing the balance sheet, how we are making the balance sheet more resilient. And that is now being seen in the provision coverage ratio, which improved from 87.55 last quarter to 89.99 in this quarter.
Thank you. Right. Point taken, sir. And if you do you have any, so we have some standard assets provisions on restructured loans, but outside of that, do you have any other contingent or countercyclical provisions apart from regulatory standard assets?
Yes. We have 690 crore rupees in our book as contingency provision also. Plus, we have a floating provision of 134 crores.
Okay, so this 690 crores provision, this is not restructured assets provision, right? This is outside of restructured and
contingency. It is contingent.
Sorry, sir, this is not very clear.
690 crores is contingency
crores. It's so, contingent, yeah.
Yes. We are preparing the bank for India's smooth migration, and therefore we have built this resilience in the balance sheet intentionally.
So in another word, sir, you have a 900 crores of net NPA, and you are saying that you have additional 600 crores of contingent provision. Is that how it is?
Yes, you understand it correctly.
Right. Okay, and sir, then this contingent provision, as you said, you are, you know, preparing the bank for Ind AS transition. Is there any rough preliminary estimate that, you know, the contingent provision you would take this to a certain percentage of loan book, 1% or whatever, you know, 1%, 1.5% or 2%, I don't know.
Yes, so our risk team has done some early runs of expected credit losses based on the portfolio behavior. And we are right now, and we expect a smooth landing with respect to migration from current accounts to Ind AS.
No, of course, sir, you would have a smooth landing, but I'm asking if there is any numerical estimate to, you know, what kind of a buffer you would think you would be achieving before the migration happens.
No, yeah, basically, see, exact number, it will be difficult to tell, but these calculations and these provisions are aligned with the estimates.
Right. But is there any percentage to loans that, you know, you would want to keep a certain proportion of loans basis your historical behavior?
So it is as our sir mentioned, this is very early to state because we have engaged the Big Four consultant to help us in this migration. So once we have reports coming from their model, we will be in a better position to tell you on the numbers. Yeah, on the numbers.
Right. Understood. Okay, sir. That is very helpful, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Well, we would take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Sagar, and thank you to all the participants for joining in today. For any further questions, queries, details, comments, or anything else, the team is always available, and you can also direct your queries to our investor relations desk, and we will definitely respond. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.